Mahoney Morning Show. Listen live on the free radio.com app.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
I mean, kind of embarrassing here. Confusion happened because of the similarity in the name of her daughter and the brand of a bottle. But per her mom, the girl whose name is Summer assumed that the this bottle that she thought was hand sanitizer was meant to be taken to school because, you know, obviously the pandemic is still going on. The kids are taking hand sanitizer with them to school.
Was it Summer's Eve?
No, it was called.
That would have been really not bad. It would have been more of a health class. Yeah.
She saw the name Ann Summer on the heat wave bottle of lube and brought it to school. Ann Summer is a UK company that's known for making things like lingerie and sex toys.
Okay.
And so Summer's mom, the 36-year-old, was mortified when she discovered the lube bottle in the pocket of her daughter's school uniform. When asked what she was doing with the Ann, the girl said that she was sanitizing her hands as she did not want to get any germs. But she wasn't actually sanitizing her hands. She was lubing her hands up.
And then, can you imagine trying to go touch every doorknob after that?
I'm so clean. So, yeah, her mom was concerned if the teachers had seen her using it, but assumed the teachers must have confiscated it if they had seen it. But
as, like, embarrassing things that your kid could bring to school.
That's
like,
funnier than embarrassing,
it's
right?
It's like, it's not a toy. It's not drugs.
Yeah.
It's not
a weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Mommy likes to have some fun.
Mommy likes to not
have to sit around and then waste chafe. 25 minutes
yeah.
and chafe.
Mommy's been with Daddy for a long time.
Yeah.
We gotta spice things up. We gotta spice things up.
It's called a marital aid, okay? some good news today as well.
Oh, Lord.
Science
is
amazing.
That's how Summer got here, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just okay.
Science is amazing, the things that they're able to track nowadays with these small tracking devices. Mm-hmm. They say that a bird broke the world record for a nonstop flight. So this is an aerodynamic build of this bird. It's called a Godwit, and it's built kind of like a fighter jet, and they tracked this flight. It took off from Alaska and flew nonstop to New Zealand.
A bird.
It took 11 days to fly at speeds at around 55 miles per hour.
I mean, if the Earth is flat, that had to have taken, like, what, a year?
I mean, yeah.
Because you got to go on the other side,
yeah,
right?
Full on other side, yeah. Wow. The male bird, which
you
is known
go around
as the...
South, you probably got to go around South America.
We'll swing on through, say hello.
Yeah.
I'm sure you got some
stop by a little
birdie
Machu
babies
Pichu
down there. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Catchy name for this bird, the 4BBRW. It had a satellite tag harnessed to it.
It's got big, beautiful wings.
That's right. Hit up my OnlyFans, y'all.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So really good news here, guys. It's what we've all been asking for and hoping for a long time. Boeing is gauging interest from customers about building a new single-aisle jet with improved engines because they crash a lot, that can carry 250 people.
A single engine.
No. So a single aisle. Oh, a single aisle, meaning that it's not like one of those planes that you'd get on one of the larger ones that many times are associated with the long-haul flights across the country
like the
internationally.
Like the 787 Dreamliner or whatever.
Exactly.
Which I love those.
Yeah, but I mean, you have two aisles, so that way getting on and off is a lot easier. You're talking about basically double the capacity of a normal, say, Southwest flight.
Uh-huh.
But
One aisle.
So it's going to take twice as long to board it. And again, when you think about companies that have done almost everything wrong in the last couple of years, I mean, Boeing's got to be towards the top of the list, right?
Really close. I mean, the 747 MAX disaster was, you know, the fact that they covered it up, the fact that they lied about it.
More people died as a result.
It is absolutely devastating, but it doesn't really matter because they also make weapons of war, so they're always going to be in business. So,
yep.
But keep making those awesome innovations as far as
making air travel worse for all of us. Yeah,
yeah,
cool. Like, looking forward to it.
You know, if we're not blowing up other countries, we are
blowing up our own spot.
We are finding a way to make our own citizens miserable. Thanks, guys.
So Coke is canceling 200 drink brands. You probably heard about Tab getting canceled. There was about a week ago or so is when people were kind of going nuts about that. Ian, didn't you say was it your grandma or something that drinks Tab regularly?
Yes.
Actually, people love Tab.
Yeah.
Well, Tab is going away along with Zico and Odwalla, which I've never even heard of either of those.
I've heard of Odwalla.
Have you? What is that?
I've never had it. I've just heard of it.
Okay. They're getting rid of a couple of other brands as well. And I mean, this is just a shift, right? I mean, Coca-Cola, as we talked about a few weeks ago when the news first came out, they're getting into the hard seltzer space as well because that's just a gold mine right now. The CEO said during an analyst call that the company is finalizing which brands will remain in the portfolio. He did not give specific names that will get axed, but said that the hydration category that has Dasani, Powerade, Vitamin Water, and Zico. Oh, Zico is just a water? Okay. And other brands will likely see more cuts because this whole rush towards vitamin water and smart water and all of that.
And that, sparkling water.
That feels like that was 5 years ago, right? Is when all that craze was going on, and now LaCroix, that's kind of subsided a little bit. Yeah.
How about that?
I didn't know that Reebok was owned by Adidas. Did you guys?
I did not even know Reebok was still a thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Reebok has been trying to make a comeback.
I thought they just sponsored Spartan races. I haven't seen somebody wear a pair of Reeboks since like middle school.
Nah, man. Like it'd be the UFC's official apparel brand for the last couple of years has been Reebok.
Has it been?
Yeah,
that's worked out real well.
Well, it's not anymore. But then the J.J. Watt and stuff had like the signature. Do you remember those? Like the
have
signature Reebok shoes.
Have you ever seen anybody? Unless you live in Houston, Texas, have you seen anybody rocking a pair of J.J. Watt shoes? And if you did, would you know that they were those?
No, which is probably why
I've seen more people rocking Starberries than J.J. Watt's.
I've never heard of Starberries.
Oh, if you don't know about Starberries, it's from Stephon Marbury. He created that brand to directly compete with Jordan, but made them at like a $25, $30 price point, so everybody could afford them.
So as it turns out,
actually big in China.
Mostly
because they're made there.
The Adidas purchase of Reebok has been a pretty bad business deal. So they bought them for $3.8 billion back in 2005.
Damn.
And the whole idea was to take on Nike in America with Reebok. And if you guys recall, I mean, like the NFL uniforms were branded with the Reebok there for...
I don't.
For like a blip, yeah.
That was just a couple of years ago, and then they went back to Nike. Anyway, long story short, they're probably worth about less than a billion now is what they're saying, like $995
million. In 15 years?
More like $3 billion.
Okay. Yeah,
they even got big stars like Cardi B trying to front that she wears Reebok as well. They were getting a lot of celebrity pull behind the Reebok brand a couple years ago.
Who was it where they were trying to do that? Was it James Harden or something where they did this big deal with him?
Actually, I think it was...
No, that was Adidas.
Was it Blake Griffin?
There was somebody that they paid a boatload of money to be like one of their ambassadors, and then that person was out in public wearing Nikes.
Oh,
you're like, go.
Why would... Uh-oh. I mean, just focus on Adidas. Like, Adidas still have like a cool, perception around them. Everybody, you know, they're huge in Europe, and they're, you know, I would say what, the number two shoe here in America.
I love my Adidas.
Oh yeah, it's got to be Nike then Adidas, right?
Well, Nike's certainly number one in America. Yeah.
I think that whenever we start seeing a push for Puma, then we know that stuff's going down in flames.
Something's happening.
I like Pumas.
I don't like Pumas.
I think they look good.
They're too flat.
I would rather wear a Reebok than a Puma.
Yeah.
But as far as the track suit hierarchy goes, it goes Nike tracksuits, Adidas tracksuits,
yes,
Puma tracksuits, Juicy Velour.
And then those weird used tracksuits that a bunch of Russian mobsters used to own.
That you get, there's always a store at the mall. It's an outlet mall.
Yeah.
You don't know exactly what they sell, but there's always weird tracksuits
in there.
Is
this a gangster store? Like, is there like a back room or something that I can go buy a bunch of drugs? Like, what is going on in this place?
Like, is this run by the people who created Grand Theft Auto?
Almost certainly.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, you mentioned a piece of advice the other day that you got from either your mom or Pappy Pap. They said there's a lid for every pot.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. What about former minister of Cambodia, Pol Pot?
Message deleted.
One of the most evil dictators who's ever lived, if you've never heard of Pol Pot. Actually, every time I do think of Pol Pot, though, besides the horrible genocide and awful things, I always just think of like a pole with a pot on top of it. You know, that's
I do the same thing with Minute Bowl.
Like it's a tiny bowl.
Yeah,
which is a weird because bowl, he is
yeah.
not,
he's so huge. He was, yeah, it's a,
is
really.
Minute Bowl still alive though? Do we know?
I think so.
I hope so.
He has a son too. Bowl. You know that?
Didn't he play? Did he play in the NBA?
Was it college or NBA? Yeah, I just remember that I saw this guy. I'm like. Holy smokes, this dude is lanky AF.
Yeah.
And tall as could be. And then it's like, oh, that's Manute Bol. Yeah, okay. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. That checks out. But yeah, no, my mom said there is a lid for every pot, which means literally whatever weird hobbies you're into or whatever.
Whatever kinks you have, whatever likes or
there's
dislikes.
There's somebody who's going to be into it.
Yeah, there's somebody
look
out
them.
There. Yeah.
Look
See,
for
my
them.
Mom always taught me just to put a lid on your pot.
Is that why you don't have any kids?
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I've been listening to you guys for like 10 years, and I don't know if it's just me being hungover or not, but damn, you guys are hilarious. I'm laughing my ass off.
Message deleted.
Don't put things like this in the voicemail. Don't.
What, compliments?
I love it. Yeah,
no.
No, Audrey.
The compliments.
There's so many insults and there's people that, that hate us.
There's
and
people
blah,
who are
blah.
Just now finding us. They're like, we don't need. They're like, look at these idiots who are putting things in.
Well, you can take a compliment. Stop being so awkward, man.
Nah,
like,
man.
Just be appreciative.
Nobody play it again.
Thank
play
you very
it
much.
Again.
No,
play
no,
it again.
Nobody likes compliments. You're just like, what do I
yes.
do with my hands?
Play it again.
I've been listening to you guys for like 10 years, and I don't know if it's just me being hungover or not, but damn, you guys are hilarious. I'm laughing my ass off.
Message deleted.
Way to take a great thing and make it weird. Both of you.
God. Don't leave
we
nice.
We get one nice thing said to us, and all of a sudden
don't
we
leave nice messages.
Make it weird.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So I know you guys moved around a lot before you landed here, but would you prefer to stay put, or do you like all the idea of moving around all the time?
Message deleted.
What are you talking about?
I hate moving.
We didn't move around a lot. I mean, we're actually one of the fortunate ones, right? There's a bunch of radio shows around the country that every couple of years they're off to some new thing.
2 years.
And, yeah, I mean, Mahoney and I have been doing a radio show consistently together for 12 years.
And been on the same station for together for like 15.
Yeah, and very yeah. You know, we're very grateful for the opportunity that we've been able to pick up other places that we're able to broadcast to now, and that's super exciting. But the fact that we don't have to move and we're able to, you know, continue to expand the footprint is it's kind of a dream come true.
I didn't
for
move
us.
For like 20 years. Like I went to literally kindergarten through, you know, like 2.5 years of community college before I came out here and did a year of community college. You know, in the same house, same city, all of that. So, like, I was not ever accustomed to moving around.
Well,
and
to
so,
be fair, when you move, you kind of it drives you a little bit crazy. It seems like you have moved a couple of times,
yeah.
And both have not been great experiences for you.
Well, but if you think about it, though, when I do move, because so I did move. I moved when my parents moved first. Went a little crazy. And then every time I move away from my parents, if I'm not in the same city as my parents, I think I like
you lose it a little bit.
Yeah, it's not good. I need to have
you are a 40-year-old
like
mama's boy
nearby.
You cannot see her for 6-7 months
yes.
because of a pandemic.
But I know
she's
there.
Down the road.
Yeah, it's comforting.
I love
comforting.
You, mama.
Here's what's making news.
Man, I get that Banksy is a thing, right? But the fact that some of his artwork is selling at this level.
Dave, he's probably the most famous modern artist who is
living.
Currently living that nobody knows who it is.
No,
I mean,
that,
we know
I
who
like
it is.
I like the anonymity.
But that's the thing. Is like there's a shtick to Banksy, right? But the fact that he's gone from this street artist to now selling paintings for $9.8 million mm-hmm. is just, it's kind of insane. Have we
Have we
seen an artist in our lifetime that's come anywhere near this? I would say no, right?
Ian, I feel like, knows more about art than anyone.
Nothing more, nothing as mainstream as Banksy, especially being from Vegas. We know Damien Hirst. He's probably, in my opinion, the second biggest
right.
you know, contemporary artist. But besides that, it's really about it.
Yeah, I mean, Damien Hirst, though, does a lot of stuff that's outside of just the traditional art, right? Like he creates these whole installations
right.
and statues and all this other...
Is he the one who did the shark in the palms?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But the fact that Banksy is pulling in $10 million for a painting now...
Well, Is it him selling it, or is this one of those ones where they like painted
auction.
It on a wall?
Sold at auction. It sold at auction. Yeah, yeah.
I love that his last painting that sold was the one that like got shredded as soon as it sold, which made it even more valuable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like what he's doing. You know, if you've never seen the, would you call it a documentary, Ian, Exit Through the Gift Shop?
I would say it's a documentary, definitely.
It's kind of, it has
it's
some
weird.
Spinal Tap feel to it, a little bit, a little mockumentary there. But if you've never seen the documentary, which came out, I want to say a decade ago.
Yeah, years ago.
I mean, but yeah, he's been that big for 10 plus years.
Wow.
Yeah. I love the style that he has, and I think it's interesting, and I think it's the social commentary is very sharp, and I think his
do you like the anonymity part of it?
I do.
Not really knowing who it is.
It's a collective, right, Ian?
It has to be a collective when you think about it.
No.
Isn't some dude in like Thievery Corp?
No, it's Deadmouse.
It's Marshmallow.
Marshmallow. I mean, that would be the ultimate reveal,
it's
right?
Marshmallow,
Banksy, and Sizer Kose all at the same time.
In the Phantom
of
the Opera.
Did you say Sizer Kose?
Sizer Kose. You know what I mean.
I feel like that would be a really good porn name.
Sizer Kose. So dyslexic today. Yeah. So an 8-year-old boy has regained his sight, which is pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
It's a rare form of progressive blindness caused by basically the retina just degenerating. And the issue is embedded in a specific gene. Well, this kid has, if you can imagine being just 8 years old and basically your sight slowly fading away,
right.
Brutal. But
it's already hard because you're trying to learn to read at that age, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, his sight was extremely limited, especially at night. Images mostly taken for granted. It was just like, you could see like an airplane flying across the sky or something like that. But they have figured out this new therapy. And within a week's time, his doctors began to notice progress and say that his condition has continued to improve over the course of the year since he underwent the procedure and is now able to function with his sight like a normal child.
I love that, man.
Isn't that cool?
I think this is what, again, we continue to talk about, like, what the future should be.
Yep.
And this is definitely not how we saw it, you know, 20 years ago, what we thought 2020 was going to be like.
Right.
At the
because
turn.
Every futuristic movie ever was always set in 2020. And
which
it was,
somehow.
Flying cars.
Somehow, where's the flying cars and the fancy Taco
I'll take
Bell?
This over
no, the apocalyptic cars. Thing is that checks out.
Yeah, well, no, for sure.
But they didn't
yeah.
check out the stupid thing. That was the part that they tended to leave out. But technology that can cure diseases like this and afflictions. I love it, man. Like, if we could beat cancer, AIDS, and get sight back and limbs and all that sort of stuff, that is what the you know, the human spirit and society and technology, that is the peak,
in
my
opinion.
Did you
say curing afflictions?
I thought you were talking about your affliction addiction from back in the day when you used to wear all those old
UFC shirts.
I
had two affliction shirts because that's all I could afford.
No, but you wore
them
every day.
They were $80.
You wore them every day.
They were soft t-shirts.
They smell bad.
I washed them.
Change your shirt.
It's the Movie Quote Quiz on the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So these are all really popular movies that you've, I'm sure, seen at some point over the years. The challenge is that there's just about 10 seconds in each one of these clips. So you guys are trying to figure it out in short order. Mahoney versus Audrey today. Audrey, since you are so much younger than Mahoney, and he's an old grumpy man that spends most of
Dave,
his life in front of the television.
We're both in our 30s.
Oh, I'm not.
She's not 30. What
are
you
29.
Doing?
I'm 29.
How dare you?
Don't you?
You're going to be 40 before she's 30.
I don't know about all that.
All right, so here's how it works. Audrey, you can tag me in for one and only one if you need me. But there's a total of five. Whoever gets more correct is going to be our winner. Do you want to go first or second on the first one?
I think today I'm going to go first, please.
First on the first one. Okay, if you get one right today, you'll hear the screaming eagle of success. If you get it incorrect, it's the disapproving pony. Here we go with clip number one. Best of luck, Audrey.
If anything, you need me. You're a baby.
Come on, Miles.
Don't you dare take Miles. You can take the children, but you leave me my monkey.
Okay, that's one of my favorite movies. John C. Reilly is so amazing in it. That's Walk Hard.
That is correct.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that's such a good movie.
I've never even heard of Walk Hard. Did that come out a long time ago?
Like 6-7 years ago, maybe actually more than that. But it's the like
Tim
a spoof
Meadows
of Walk the Line, which is about
Johnny
Cash and June Carter.
Okay,
yeah,
I
so good.
It.
It's like, I need more blankets and less blankets at the same time.
Okay,
so, don't come in here. You're not going to like this.
What is it?
Wait, so you also seen it?
It's so good. Right, it's weed. Excited. It's going to make you feel all good feelings. You don't want none of this, Johnny. So good.
All right, so Audrey on the board here with one, and on to number two. Mahoney, you get the first crack at this.
Tend the cabins and grounds and do little errands for my mother, the ones she allows I might be capable of doing.
Do you go out with friends?
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
That is the original Psycho.
It is.
Yeah. Yep. Nice.
Well done.
Okay. It's Norman Bates, man.
I would not have gotten that. Oof.
What year did that come out?
Like 60s?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's an old movie.
I'm surprised Jeez. That you knew that. That was
a classic.
A pretty impressive poll to know that was the original Psycho. But yeah. All right, Audrey and
it's
Mahoney.
It's not the Vince
you...
Vaughn version from 98. Let's not go there.
Each of you have 1 point on to number three.
You got three lemons.
What my baby wants, my baby gets. You know that.
No, but I wanted 12. Baby wanted 12.
Why would you want 12 lemons?
Because I'm making a 12-lemon centerpiece.
Vince Vaughn.
Speaking of Vince Vaughn, yeah.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
That's I know the it. Breakup.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is.
Awesome.
So funny
that
Mahoney
movie,
pulled out a random reference to Vince Vaughn, and then 2 seconds later, there
it
he is.
It kind of helped, honestly.
Yeah.
But whenever I saw the movie in the theaters with an ex-boyfriend.
Oh, no.
Did you break up? You go,
yeah, we ended up like pretty much right after that movie.
Really?
I was thinking there was going to be like some nice ending. Nope, they just broke up.
Okay, Audrey, 2 points. Mahoney, one. Here you go, Mahoney, on to number four.
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble gum.
Oh, God, I know this. You play it one more time?
Yeah, yeah.
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble gum.
God, I'm with you.
I know it. I can't. I'm trying to place the actor. Trying to place it.
It sounds like a line that Nicolas Cage should have delivered, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. I'm all out of bubble.
That's not Nicolas Cage.
I can't place the actor. I think if I could place the actor, I could get it. I just don't. I don't know.
You got a guess?
My pass? No.
I don't have anything either.
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass.
Not a traditional actor.
And I'm all out of bubble gum.
Is this
not
that?
A traditional actor?
Nope. All right.
Was this the disaster artist, whatever?
No, it is not. That is Roddy Piper in They Live.
Oh, wow.
That was a grab.
Oh, boy.
That was a grab.
Okay. I mean, I said, now that you say it's Roddy Piper, but I still wouldn't have got that movie.
Ooh, that was hard.
Okay, here we go. Fifth and final one, Audrey, for a 3-1 victory. Here we go.
What's the dog's name?
Max. Hey, Janelle, what's wrong with Wolfie? I can hear him barking. Is he okay?
Wolfie's fine, honey. Wolfie's just fine. What are you?
Your foster parents are dead.
Okay, I think that's Arnold at the end.
Yeah, and at the beginning, yeah, that's Arnold.
I still get a pass, right?
You can tag me in.
You know it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So really, you stacked that so against me. Not even close.
How do I know it's against you?
Okay.
I went to
if there's anyone that
week?
Should know a Roddy Piper movie, it would be you.
Yeah,
okay.
Man.
Get out of here. Collusion.
Are you mad?
Collusion.
You mad?
You suck. Collusion. Why are you mad? Why are you mad?
Collusion.
Here's what's making news.
Well, here's something that I don't know a whole lot of people were asking for. Alcohol-free Guinness.
Why?
No.
Why would you do that? I mean,
don't mess Guinness, with Guinness,
which everybody has this preconceived notion about Guinness. It's, oh, it makes me so full and it gets me so drunk.
It's lighter than Bud Light.
Yes. Less calories than Bud Light, yep. And it's very, very light. It just, the darkness scares me.
Ooh,
it looks a certain way, but the idea of alcohol-free Guinness, I don't know about you guys, but if I were just
Can
to say-
Can we have oxygen-free air instead?
I'm never drinking again. I wouldn't still seek out beers to drink.
Like the non-alcoholic version.
Yeah. I mean, like, I love drinking beer,
yeah.
But because it gets you a little buzzy bagoo.
But
if I need something to drink, and if I, you know, even if I'm battling a problem or something like that, I feel like that's kind of toeing the line.
Yeah, the
At
taste
for
of
me,
it would be,
I would just be like, I'm going to stick with, like, Coke, a cola.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was going to say.
No, I mean, a can.
Not
like,
one for the other.
All your bad feelings feel good.
It's a nightmare.
So, you don't want any of this, do we?
So, Jarvis Landry, who now plays for the Cleveland Browns.
I love the name Jarvis, by the way. That is just a cool-ass name.
And I actually interviewed him when I did that thing at the Super Bowl this year, actually. Again, it feels like a lifetime ago.
Good dude.
Really, really genuinely nice guy.
Nice.
And he's kind of taken on the mentor role, right? Because he played at LSU, and then Odell Beckham's had a lot of problems. They're both on the same team. But Odell's actually had a pretty good year this year.
Yeah.
And a lot of people attribute that to, you know, Jarvis being, you know, a wide receiver that's been around for a long time. But Jarvis still, obviously, a lot of production on the field. He's been playing with a broken rib.
Oh, my. How? How are you playing at that level with a broken rib?
I know, right? So the injury took place on October the 11th. He took a huge hit from a linebacker in that game. He still completed the catch, by the way, and then literally had to crawl to the sideline afterwards.
And he's been playing on it ever since?
And he's been playing because there's nothing that you can do. Yeah, there's been a game since then.
They just wrap you up, right?
Yeah. Exactly. There's nothing you can do about it. But the fact
that you're still taking hits?
Oh, I mean, I stubbed my toe and I'm out of commission for a month.
A month.
The idea of out there playing smash mouth football with a broken rib and you're like, fuck.
You've got NFL players.
Yeah.
Professional athletes who are hitting you.
Yeah.
You're like, no thanks.
And then you tell them that you have a broken rib. I'm sure they won't target it. They're all very nice. So old Lubin Tubin says that going to town on himself on that Zoom was a mistake.
Of course it was.
You think?
Yeah.
He said he regrets pleasuring himself during a Zoom call attended by numerous colleagues. That's the thing that would get me. Like, if it gets out, like you said the other day, Mahoney, everyone does it.
Who
like,
cares?
Who cares, right?
But like, wait.
But imagine doing that in front of all of your coworkers. Like, that's what really sucks.
I mean, I think it would suck more if you were a type of way about it. You know what I mean? If you were, like, into weird, like, if you had a weird kink. And everybody saw it. Because, like you said, everybody does it. But if I saw of a sudden you pulled out, like, a necktie or something, and then I'm watching all that happen as well, then I'd just be like, dude, like, what?
What are you doing, man?
An inflatable unicorn, but that's not a horn on its head.
Dave and Mahoney. Back with more. Thanks to the 2-Minute Promise. Never playing more than 2 minutes of commercials at a time is what we do. Alt 107.5.
What is your irrational fear? You know that it's probably never going to go wrong, but you still think about it almost every time that you're doing whatever that thing is. Like for me, I don't know why I fear that there's going to be some kind of chunk of metal that gets dropped down into the garbage disposal in the sink. And so every time I turn it on, that's going to come flying out and hit me directly in the eye.
See, I'm always afraid that it's going to turn on. Without me turning it on when I'm down in there.
Ooh, that's what
When your hand is down in there?
No, I don't. Do you put your hand down in there often?
Yeah.
I'm too scared.
Sometimes.
No.
Yeah, I mean, if there's something clanking around in there, like that piece of metal that's trying to get me in the eye.
Like you have like a rogue fork or like a baby spoon
this
or something?
Is why,
sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
This
I
is
mean,
why
yeah, that happens, I guess.
This is why I bought a garbage disposal with like a Hemi engine. That thing's got like 4 horsepower. It can incinerate almost anything.
Yeah,
like
you can boat
spoon?
Across a lake with that thing if you put it in the back of a dinghy.
Yeah, no. power several lawnmowers for sure.
Pam said the glass balconies in hotels that they'll fail.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
You ever been on like a cruise ship and they have that little glass thing that divides you from the open sea and you're kind of drunk and leaning on it and you're like, I'm going to die.
Mm-mm. Well, what about the Grand Canyon? That whole overlook at the Grand Canyon is glass. I have no desire to ever go see that.
What is it? Is it the Hancock Building in Chicago, Ian, that has the glass?
It's actually both. So Sears and Hancock both have that. I guess a lot of big buildings have it. And
it
did crack.
It did?
Yeah.
Somebody was jumping on it. I mean, it wasn't like they were like, but the glass like.
No.
Yeah, there was just a real small crack in there. But even that.
I don't like this conversation. It's giving me like, because I can envision it happening right now. And because I've been into the Hancock Building doing that. And now I'm having like this overwhelming sense. Don't you guys feel like that right
now
thinking about
it? Don't jump on it.
Don't
or even just standing
like,
on
I
it.
Feel
I have
like
to close my eyes and just stand and then just like really quickly open my eyes for the picture and then close them and then walk back out.
Did you guys ever have the friend that would jump in the elevator?
Yes.
You know, like it'd be coming to an end and then it would have that little dip and so they'd try to time it so they could jump and you're like, hey man.
Don't do that.
Hey, I know that it's
elevators fail way more often than you think.
Yes.
Oh no. What?
So speaking of the glass viewing areas, there was a prank that somebody did. So they put like an LED screen under one of those that had like, you know, it showed down. And so people standing on it, then it like broke.
Oh, man.
They freaked
like,
out.
Like, that is just the meanest and, you know, harmless prank, but just so mean.
I feel like I'm developing new fears today because of some of these comments. Ryan said a semi-truck tipping over onto my car as I pass it.
I don't worry about the truck tipping over, but I worry about them changing lanes into me.
I hate when I'm behind one of those UPS ones that have like the two or three trailers behind them.
Oh, the three
ones? And they start wobbling a little bit. I'm like, go.
When I go like 120 miles an hour. I'm like, bah.
Crystal said opening the biscuits. I know it's going to pop, but it still freaks me out every time.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That is like a biscuit grenade every
really
time.
It really is.
How do you do it? Do you twist it, or are you a banger on the side of the counter?
I'll bang it.
I'm all bangaroo, too. Yeah, I was like, wop, pop, pop.
Sometimes you bang it too hard, then the dough is dented.
Yeah, because whenever you pop it with a spoon or something, that's whenever you don't know when it's going to pop right.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you get all funky-ass croissants.
Yeah.
Which is a great band name.
Funky Ass Croissants.
Funky Ass Croissants.
I'd go see Funky Ass Croissants.
That's like a Fish cover band for sure.
It's like, have they been playing the same song for 16 minutes? Jeez. What
16
is...
hours, Dave.
It's getting warmed up. This one texted over to us at 833-YO-DUMMY. I'm afraid that my eyes will go bad if I stare at the food in the microwave when it's running. Which I'd never even thought about, but same.
Why would you even stare at
Because you're hungry, man. You're watching it
develop. You gotta watch this
microwave
minutes.
I'm watching my baby come to life.
Oh, yeah. Especially like, whenever it's popcorn.
It's like a 3D ultrasound. I love you. I can't wait to meet you.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on social media. At Dave and Mahoney.
So what is your irrational fear? Andy texted us at 833-YO-DUMMY. He said, my family and close friends all know that I will never go number two at anyone else's house but my own. I will go at work sometimes, and obviously hotel rooms excluded. But I have this irrational fear that the toilet is going to break if I were to ever do my business at their place. And in the past, this fear has come to fruition, so I can't do it anymore.
So that's why he's scared in the first place, because it's happened.
Yes.
I've had that happen. It was when I was the best man at my best friend's wedding about 12 years ago. And him and his wife were staying at like a hotel the night before, and I had to go get something at his house for him for the wedding. And so, but I stopped at the house and I'm like, you know, nature had called. I think I'd have just eaten some Jack in the Box tacos, 2 for $1. Best
Why
deal
do you
in
keep
America.
Doing that to yourself if it always hurts?
Nature is in fact calling.
And so I blew it up and. Then all of a sudden, it's, the water level is rising.
Oh, boy. Which is the worst feeling in the world, because you only have a split second to figure out what to do. Well, what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The water starts coming up. You're like,
should I
stick my arm in
there? There is no plunger anywhere in sight.
Even worse.
And luckily, it stops right before the top.
What about the brush? Have you ever just grabbed the brush in
doesn't,
panic?
That doesn't work.
It says it does. Sometimes.
Just, no,
you got to use that as a plunger. You got to jam it in the hole.
No,
you got to really.
No. Yeah. I've tried 1,000 different ways with that, and it never works. It doesn't create suction. So I had to leave his house and go buy a plunger, because they did not have a plunger in their house.
What?
I couldn't believe. Like, what kind of world are you living in where you don't own a plunger?
So you were able to at least plunge it yourself, right?
Well, yes, I was, but I had to go literally buy a plunger. It's like, what took you so long? And I'm like, I couldn't have just left that there because I was flying out of town the day after the wedding. I wasn't planning on going back to the house.
I don't know what's worse, if you're doing that at a friend's house and it explodes or whatever. I've had to have my husband come in and help me plunge because I didn't know how to do it. I know it's bad, but like I didn't know what to
seal.
Do.
You form a seal and then just push, like basically CPR. On
okay,
the,
I did that, and then it just got all like crazy.
No,
in
you
there.
Got all crazy in there.
You have to form a seal. You have
it
to form
like
a seal.
I felt like I was just making like poop soup.
Oh, Jesus, Audrey,
you were. Shandy said, I always think that a baby or an animal is in one of those trash bags that's on the side of the road. It freaks me out seeing trash bags on the side of the road, talking about irrational fears.
I've never had that thought.
And
but
now you're going to think about it every time. Thanks a lot, Shandy.
I feel like that's just from work crews that are doing community service, though, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's always some dude who's in like minimum security prison.
No, he's got like 2 DUIs and he's doing like he's picking up.
Cleaning up trash.
That's probably what's going on there.
Renee said a rat in the toilet. No, that's just Audrey's poop.
Listen live on demand on the radio.com app and follow at Dave and Mahoney.
What is your irrational fear? My brother James texted me. He said, sharks, bro. Sharks. Uncle Bunkle, which is our Uncle Bill, showed me Jaws when I was about 9 years old. Still today, sharks. If I saw a shark while I was in the water, I'd probably poop myself, cry, and drown.
Aww.
I mean, I don't know if that's that irrational. I mean,
yeah, that's a pretty rational fear.
Every time that I get in a body of water, that's all that I'm thinking about.
Sharks.
I mean, sharks and
jellyfish
just, and or anything that could surprise me. You're so vulnerable. If I'm walking out of the water, not so much. But if I jump in, even if it's off of a boat into a lake, I'm still thinking about it.
Lakes are worse than the ocean because you can't see in lakes most of the time.
Yeah, it depends on the lake, right?
But there's so many things at the bottom.
But the ocean has things that can kill you. Lakes, not really. I mean, you might
run into an angry snapping turtle.
An angry snapping turtle, you might lose a toe or other important appendages. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's not going to kill you in one bite.
How weird is it when you see a snake swimming on top of a body of water?
That's not fair, man.
And it's just doing that little S thing, and you're like, oh, hell no.
I hate snakes. Ugh.
Hell no.
How do they walk without feet? How do they slither?
Is there anything worse than a water moccasin? I mean, and they're aggressive and poisonous.
Yes. Nah.
Eels. What's an eel? I hate it all. I hate water.
Yeah, what it's supposedly a fish, but you're a snake fish. Don't you lie to me.
Eels are delicious, though.
They are delicious, and maybe that's why they're so mean, but the whole idea that there can be an electric eel in the water that can shock you.
What
is going on here?
Question, though. Going back into primitive times.
Okay.
Who was the first person who caught an eel and was like, you know what? I'm going to eat that.
Because it came from the water, so wouldn't you try? Like,
but it is ugly as hell.
That was back before grocery stores, man. Anything, you're like, I'm eating.
That's meat.
The ocean was the grocery store.
I'm going to eat this meat.
Right? I'm going to eat a buffalo or something. Like, at least those are kind of cute.
Well, after it electrocuted you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, once that eel shocks you, you're like, I'm eating your whole family now. And then you're like, oh, damn, that's delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A drizzle of eel sauce on there. That's nice.
That's right.
I think I would rather eat ugly things than cute things.
I feel like cute animals taste better.
How could you say that?
Cows are super cute, man.
Pigs are delicious.
And I love pigs.
Give me some bacon.
It sucks. I hate that I like eating pork.
Yeah.
I do. I feel bad, but my...
You gotta disassociate.
But I love it so much.
I do
disassociate.
Alicia said sinkholes.
That's not an irrational fear. They suck whole houses down.
Yeah, I mean, when you see a sinkhole actually drop out, you're like, mother of God. The idea of quicksand when I was younger, not so much anymore, but seeing The Princess Bride as well as The Neverending Story where Artex drowns, quicksand freaked me out.
You need to watch. There's a video on YouTube of
how to get out of it. I saw that, yeah.
You kind of wiggle your hips.
Yeah,
you wiggle your hips
right.
and then instead
you
of trying to
spread out as much as you can.
Instead of trying to stand on it, you like kneel on it with one leg and then pop your other leg out.
And I don't think if I was ever in a bout of quicksand that I would think, you know,
hold on, let me pull out this YouTube video.
Yeah.
No, that's why we've watched the YouTube video in advance for preparation.
We're ready.
Run into
just like if I ever catch on fire, I'm not going to think stop, drop, and roll.
Oh, I am.
Oh, I think so. I don't know what else I'd be thinking.
I think I would just be in such a panic. I'd just run into the wall, and then I catch the whole wall on fire, and there goes my house.
Why do you have a gasoline wall in your house? It's so strange that you do.
Or curtains.
Who is that? If I catch on fire, you know what comes to mind? That Buster Poindexter song, Ian.
What song is
what?
That?
See,
what?
That reference went right over my head.
Every time that he's got weird, obscure references, he goes to Ian, and now Ian's even shutting it down.
I don't
Thank
even,
you,
Buster Poindexter, please enlighten me.
Hot, hot, hot. No, you don't remember
You don't
that
even
song?
Think like Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire,
no,
or like any
saying,
other fire
I,
fire songs?
I go to Buster Poindexter.
What?
Feeling hot. You don't remember that song?
Yeah, no.
Have you guys ever thought about this? Ashley said the swing set collapsing on me while I'm swinging.
No.
I mean, like... That's why you don't have.
Have
your,
you ever been on a swing when you were an
stepdad
adult?
Stepdad put it together, man.
No, but I mean, have you been on a swing as an adult recently?
No, well, but
I'm just nervous. I'm going to like jump and like land, and my legs just break.
I used to try to do that, where you jump off
as
high as you get the swing
point.
Going. Yeah, and now I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this thing has to be at a full stop before I'm getting off.
I feel like most park swing sets are like indestructible, though.
Yeah.
Or at least the ones that, like, I've seen, you know, they have, the, like, the thick-ass kind of rusty chain.
Oh, yeah.
And the, like, the thickest rubber ever to hold your ass.
Yeah.
And then whatever the structure that's hold it feels indestructible.
Oof.
Speaking of the lake thing, Devin said, I live in Lake Tahoe, and I fear that something from the deep will come up and grab my leg and pull me down every time I'm in the water in the middle of the lake. I keep one hand on the boat ladder every time I take a dip.
No way.
Why
no,
do you
so,
do the same
no,
thing?
So I do something very similar. So I get brave after like a couple drinks, right? Like I get in.
Hear you're only swimming drunk. That's good.
Well, no, I wear the life jacket, the floaties.
You do?
Oh, no. No, I'd sink down there so fast. But I like have my feet above the water behind me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so that I can see my feet.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because if my toes go down to the cold part, you know, of the lake.
Yeah.
That's where everybody's just going to drag me down into the deep.
I feel like it makes it a lot worse. Like, Lake Tahoe, there's so many stories about the bodies and how...
They're preserved.
It's so cold that, like, they sink and they'll stay down there and they're perfectly preserved. And you're
that's
like...
That's not true.
No, I hate it.
That's not true.
Is it not?
Stop it.
But there's a lot of bodies up there.
I mean, I've heard those stories from people who are scuba divers. I mean...
Have you?
Yeah.
I feel like that's an urban myth, tipping over. Cows.
I've heard from somebody who was a scuba diver. Yeah.
What did you hear? It's spooky season. Are there just dead bodies?
Yeah, if you go scuba diving down there with lights, you'll run into dead bodies, and they're perfectly preserved, but they don't float back up to the top because it's so cold that the weight of it keeps them down there. Yeah.
It's like a refrigerator of dead bodies.
See, no. Not true at all.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Be careful online dating, ladies and gents. Tinder is like an AOL chat room in 2003 right now.
Message deleted.
Hmm. What does he mean? He said it's difficult to date online right now?
I don't doubt that for a second.
I think it's way more socially acceptable. I think it's way more accessible overall. But I feel like with all of these options, people just go, eh. Like, so I feel like the flakiness has probably ramped up quite a bit. That's the thing.
Everyone has a built-in excuse. I mean, and you know, not that people had a hard time necessarily coming up with excuses in the past, but if you have a change of heart or you reconnect with somebody else or you just happen to stumble across somebody else that appears slightly more interesting, oh, I'm not feeling so good. There's a lot of stuff going on right now with the pandemic. It just feels like it would be there's no way that you can question somebody that you had plans with for canceling.
If my wife were to leave me, one of my biggest... you know, kind of things that I would not look forward to is trying to have to date again. I don't know if I would.
In the era of social media dating, I don't think that I could either. I'm a very in-person person. Like, I feel like I can get to know you a lot better than just like looking at your pictures on Instagram. Like, I want to be able to have a conversation with you. And also, there's kind of something fun about meeting somebody in the wild.
I don't...
You know what I mean? And not over a screen.
So Dave, you would never have sex again?
Well, no. I mean, I think that... Well, I mean,
it's a daunting
maybe.
Task.
I wouldn't go on to, like, dating apps. So maybe if something happened, like if it occurred, like Audrey said, out in the wild, maybe. But I don't think I would... I don't think I'm putting myself out on Tinder. I'm too old for Tinder, first and foremost.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Come on.
Because you can set your age demos.
I don't have the energy to try to, like, here's what's really good about being married and being with somebody for a long time is that you have accepted my flaws. You know where what to expect from me after all these years. There's a level of expectation, and now I'm going to have to, like, start over with all of that. I don't have time to
and just
to,
yesterday you were talking about how your first date with your wife, you killed it. Like, you had the perfect date.
That was it.
Yeah, but
spent.
Just reuse the old material, man.
It's 10 years. I forgot it. It's like a comic who hasn't done a set in 10 years. I don't remember those. It's like, remember when it was Michael Stipe was trying to sing End of the World as We Know It in the year 2000 on TRL. Yeah. He had to pull out cue cards because he didn't remember the words to his own song.
But I think that that's kind of a cute and endearing thing. Like, whenever somebody's rusty with their game. Like, I think that's kind of a cute thing. Because if you're like 40s and you're like trying to mac on a girl the way you are in your 20s,
that's a little
sounds awful. I'm just going to be alone.
Just be yourself.
Pornography exists. I've got, you know, all of my hands. We're good.
See, that's the thing is that if you get divorced and your wife takes all your stuff, like when you're old, you'd think that, well, at least you have money or a career that you've been involved in for 20, 25 years, and you have something to lean back on there. But then, like, you don't even have any of that anymore. You're just like,
so you just get that one couch that you defaulted on 15 years ago.
I will have a studio apartment. A It'll have one of those weird scrims that's up for whatever reason to divide the room to make it feel bigger.
Yeah, that has like some sort of Asian writing on there that you don't know what it means.
I will go to a weed shop and buy, or a bong store and buy a samurai sword for sure.
You could also get some beads to separate the entrance from the rest of the studio apartment so that way it's like three rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. I date you.
Okay.
Right. Please leave a message after the tone.
If you take the PT from pterodactyl, the OUGH from doe, and the NEIGH from neighbor, and put those together, PTOUGHNEIGH, that spells Tony, and that's beautiful.
Message deleted.
What was that?
That is how dumb the English language is. If you
wait,
were, if
what
you
are the letters?
Well, the PH from pterodactyl.
So PT.
The PT from pterodactyl.
OUGHNEIGH. Tony.
So the edible kicked in, did it?
I'm going to name my kid this.
Oh, it's really still going to be better than Elon Musk's kid's name.
You're right.
You can't out-stupid that.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave, I have to ask, have you had any insane baby moments over the last couple of months? Like maybe some crazy messes or something? Or has it been pretty tame?
Message deleted.
You get so desensitized to poop. Like nobody tells you that as a parent.
That just like it just becomes just a part of your day to day.
At this point, an adult could come over to my house and just take a slam on the floor, and I'd be like, "Well, that's only moderately inconvenient."
Who doesn't freak me out?
I mean, I know your gate code.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea. It's Pop Trash.
Who is the best Batman ever?
Well, I know who the best Batman is ever, but I'm curious to hear who you think is the best Batman ever, Dave.
Michael Keaton.
Without a doubt.
It's got to be, right? I mean, all of the other ones.
Christian Bale had a moment.
Christian Bale screwed it up with a voice. Yeah.
Oh,
the voice
I
screwed
liked
up.
It.
Oh,
I
terrible. Hated it. So distracting.
Hated it.
You think?
So distracting.
Val Kilmer, a close runner-up number two, I would say. You know, Val Kilmer, you know, just in
two
the,
really charming, huge movie stars in George Clooney and Ben Affleck can't pull it off.
Clooney sucked so
terrible.
Bad.
Clooney
was Affleck
the worst.
Was garbage. Mm-hmm. I go Keaton, Kilmer, Bale,
ooh.
Clooney, Affleck.
Wow.
Or Affleck, Clooney.
Okay. Yeah, Clooney was probably the worst, which is hard
Adam
to
West
believe.
Above all of them.
Well, Michael Keaton was on Jimmy Kimmel's show, and he agrees that he is the best.
Michael, who was the best Batman?
Me.
Yeah. And do you keep the suit at home for like sex play or whatever or anything?
No.
No, you do not.
No.
You don't have the suit.
No, but I will slip into it now and then. If I'm just feeling insecure enough, I just slip into the suit. It makes me feel a whole lot better. I'll walk around the neighborhood a little bit.
Do you guys believe him that he's never put that on for sexy time? Because
would you?
Just the mask.
If the girl asked, I mean, no, the mask and the upper body.
Oh, because
the muscles.
The fake abs. Yeah,
adds the muscles.
That was back when they just built the abs into the suits before the stars got all ripped.
In fact,
like they do now because they're all on HGH and tons of testosterone and whatever other.
I might take it a step further. I may also do the leg coverings, kind of like assless chaps. You know what I'm talking about, where it's just the
it's just
the
quads.
Thunder zone that's exposed.
And the reason why I think Michael Keaton is the best Batman, I think he's the best actor out of all of them. Like, when you think about his body of work and how good of an actor Michael Keaton has become.
Christian Bale's got a body of work as well. He's a method actor.
Christian Bale's definitely the better actor.
I feel like Christian Bale's just the bigger a-hole. Like, he plays, the character,
okay.
the roles that he's, like, great in, or he just plays, like, kind of like an a-hole. I don't know. I just think Michael Keaton as...
You legitimately think Michael Keaton is a better actor than Christian Bale?
All day long.
You
really?
Are insane.
This is a guy who played Mr. Mom. He was in Multiplicity. He was Beetlejuice, Batman. He was in Birdman. And he was the Vulture in Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's got like one character that he plays well.
The Founder, he played Ray Kroc so well in that movie.
I never saw that.
You should. It's on Netflix right now.
Is it?
It is.
So Legally Blonde 3 is going to hit theaters in May of 2022. Anyone excited about this?
Actually,
anyone
yes.
Care? Yeah?
I like Reese Witherspoon. I thought the first two Legally Blonde movies were fun, and I'm curious to see what's going on 20 years later.
Is it going to be the same? Do you guys know? Is it like her life and it's just progressed 20 years?
I don't know what the story's about. I just know that Reese Witherspoon's in on it, and I thought the first two movies were good. I am all in on a Legally Blonde 3 and a Miss Congeniality 3 if they were ever to decide to reboot that series with Sandra Bullock as well.
I just feel like it seems kind of washed up because Reese is not washed up, and I don't like this
What if
move.
She's going to become a judge now? Like, think about, like, she's kind of following, like, an RBG style role, and she's becoming a judge
Easy,
now.
Buddy.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
let's
transition
movie.
Legally Blonde into Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yes, why not?
Mindy Kaling's writing. writing it. So, you know, she's a great writer.
Yes,
so,
Mindy Kaling's great.
All right. So speaking of writing, a lot of people were not not pleased with the way that Uncut Gems ended. No spoilers, because there's people out there that maybe haven't seen it yet. But Adam Sandler says that on a regular basis, he gets yelled at for the way that Uncut Gems ended.
And started and existed the entire
movie.
You
hated the movie.
Such chaotic energy.
My wife hated it as well. And as
but isn't that a testament to how good of an actor he is then?
He did a great job acting in it. It was just
a gambler, I understand that that chaotic energy. I mean, not,
it's junking out.
Yeah, not quite to that level, obviously.
I was going to say, locking somebody in a room and forcing them to watch a whole game so that they don't...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
fine.
A bit much. That's
fine.
That's a little chaotic to me.
Which Adam Sandler would you rather watch? Would you rather watch the ridiculous Netflix family movies, or would you rather watch like the darker Punch Drunk Love or Uncut Gems Adam Sandler?
The former. I mean, Adam Sandler being the goofy, lovable Adam Sandler that I know is better. I respect his body of work. Like, I thought he was great in Uncut Gems, but that's not the Adam Sandler that I need. We can just cast Christian Bale in those roles.
Okay.
Because he's the better
or
Michael
actor. Keaton. Yeah.
Michael Keaton would be fine, too. He's such a great thespian.
Not George Clooney.
Anyone but George Clooney.
Anybody but George Clooney.
George, you just
like
stand
George.
There and look pretty, okay?
Yeah, you're just handsome.
Yeah. I like George.
Is George ever really a good actor?
Yes.
Like what?
Oh, Brother, Why Art Thou is amazing. Burn After Reading is amazing. Those are like top tier two
Up
of my
in the
favorites.
Air was great, too.
Up in the Air was pretty good.
If you look at me and say, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
No, I love it. Because not because of George Clooney, because the Coen brothers made it a great movie.
But he was also super hokey. He was super hokey. In that movie.
You could have cast Brad Pitt in that same in either
in fact,
of those
Brad
roles.
Pitt probably would have been better in that role.
Yeah, even though he was
Except
also
he
in Burn After
that
Reading
that
and
dumb fake
southern
accent.
so bad. No, at least George is from Kentucky. He pulled it off a little bit.
So Phil Collins, there's more. Phil Collins and his ex. We had the update earlier about how him and his ex have broken up. She's still living in his $33 million mansion. She's now hired private security guards, changed all the security codes, blocked the cameras so he can't see what's going on. He's worried that she's trashing the house. Well, now his ex, who is 46, alleges in new court documents that he has installed cameras in their home to spy on her without her knowledge. She says that Collins stunned her when she tied the knot in a secret August wedding to her lover and continued to live in the mansion that's owned by Phil Collins. So Collins is trying to have her kicked out with her new husband. I was greatly disturbed and outraged that Mr. Collins apparently requested that hidden cameras be installed in these rooms. In another filing, her legal team accuses Collins of trying to spy on her during her most private moments.
Okay, he's already seen you booty naked before. Like, just chill out, first of all. And secondly, get out of his house.
It's his house.
Get out of his house.
And you got married to somebody else.
This is so bizarre to me. I just can't even imagine that a cop has not rolled up there and said, get out, you crazy.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
It's a $33 million estate. You know they're trashing his stuff. They have to be,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
It's gotten to this point.
I'm stealing all the plumbing.
I would just set up a bulldozer.
Wait, that's your first move? I'm going to steal the toilet?
No, like all the copper pipes.
Just turn off the water?
What are you, a meth head? Like, who steals copper?
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present The Internet is
Awesome.
Some of our favorite pieces of audio over the handful of the last few days. The Internet is awesome. And we'll start with one of these segments that we do on the show a couple of times during the course of the week. It's called Cover Your Ears. And these are real cover songs that people perform and then they upload. And some of them are classics, right? And Audrey, you've been talking a lot this week about Miley Cyrus going back and covering the Cranberries and Metallica and everything else.
Metallica tribute album, I guess.
This is a lot different than that. This is actually a newer song that I'm sure you've heard on this radio station before. It's called Sunday Best by Surfaces.
Yeah.
And it's a relatively new song and artist, right? And Mahoney, this one actually stumped you when we played it on the air. But let's go back and revisit just how magical these 30 seconds are.
It's gonna get difficult to stand, but hold your balance. I just say whatever good is, there's no way around it. Everyone falls down sometime, but you gotta know it'll all be fine. It's okay. Ah, it's okay. It's okay. You're feeling good.
Hey.
Like a suit.
When it's got a little funk to it. Like if that guy was playing at a coffee shop or a little pub by the beach, I'd stop and listen. Yeah, man.
Mahoney's.
He still hates it.
I mean, I thought that wasn't a bad cover of that. I mean, I just didn't know the name of the song.
Okay.
Grumper Grump?
Because it was such a bad cover of it?
No, just because I know the song. I just didn't know the name of it. I mean, I feel like a lot of people are like, yeah, I've heard that song. I just don't know the name of that song.
Let's move on to something equally important. This is Britney Spears. She decided to get on her Instagram, and she, you know, kind of an interesting look with the smeared mascara, which is sort of the signature Britney look at this point. It's always, did you just wake up?
Like, get some
Dave, she's trolling us. Ian and I agree this is a Andy Kaufman-esque performance being done by Britney. And I think she is, she's laughing all the way to the Instagram bank.
You think she's making money off this somehow? Because this is her five tips on things you should bring to the beach, which... very helpful at the end of October.
So this is the exact same bathing suit I wore like 3 days ago to the beach. But I said, hey, why not give it another shot? But while I'm at it, I just wanted to let you guys know the five most important things that you need to bring when you go to the beach. A towel, oil, sunscreen, a dog, and a hat. I'm going to go to my jacuzzi now.
She's so ditzy. I love her.
It's an act. It's an act.
Not.
I love it.
No, it's not.
You know, it's high level performance.
I think that actually probably is, after hearing it a couple times, I think that she is trying to be like ditz on purpose.
She's trolling all of you.
She is trolling.
No, I think she went straight to her jacuzzi with a handle of Mad Dog 2020 and drank it until she passed out.
They don't make handles of Mad Dog, Dave. I don't even know she's allowed to drink.
Unless you're Britney Spears.
Oh, you've got a special access to handles of Mad Dog 2020?
You know Mr. Dog. He'll do whatever for you.
mm-hmm. That was the dog.
If you can hang out in the jacuzzi with Britney, sure. Why not?
So we all have felt that pain of our favorite team losing. And if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan like I am, you feel that pain a lot. They've just basically started tanking this season.
No,
but college football is really very – a lot of people feel passion levels for college football – maybe like they don't even for the pros, right?
Yeah.
Because the connection that you have with your school.
It's a time, it's a place, it's a feeling, yeah.
Well, and there's just certain areas of the United States that don't have pro teams.
Right, and SEC football, where there's not a lot of pro teams in the South comparative to other parts of the country, it's a religion
it's
almost,
in your blood.
Right? Yeah, and this guy, who is a big Tennessee Volunteers fan, after they suffered a loss this season, maybe took things too far and... yeah, it didn't work out great.
I did something today that I've never done. I messed up, threw a beer bottle through my window, and my wife left me. I had two beers. I wasn't even drunk. I can't stand to watch this team anymore. I can't do it. My blood pressure's up. So I apologized to her and told her, honey, Tennessee football done this. I didn't do it. My wife just looked at me and grabbed some stuff, said she's going to her mom's for a few weeks.
If she's going to her mom's for a few weeks, that's probably bad news. If it's like, I'm going to go spend the night somewhere, you're like, okay, we're going to reconcile this. If she's like, I'm out for a month.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back. This has been on the coming
for
a while.
Would you ever accept that excuse from your husband? It wasn't me that did it. It was Tennessee football.
No, it would be me saying that to my husband. It wasn't me, baby. It was
Kentucky,
the Cats.
It was the Cats. They lost again. Should have known better.
Oh, no.
And finally, from fast food freakouts. Normally, you know, we hear these freakouts and it's sort of a back and forth between the whoever's working at the store as well as the person who's melting down. Very rarely does it end in a tasing. This time it does. Fast food freakout from Taco Bell.
Everybody get out. Get out. Drop the bar.
No.
Ma'am, drop the bar. Drop the bar.
No.
Drop the bar.
Come in here and spend hundreds of dollars in the
Dude,
the best part is she was just getting into her big diatribe about how she'd gone into a Taco Bell and spent hundreds of dollars, as if that's even possible. But right as she's getting into it, he's just over it.
Dollars in the
is this how Electric Mountain Dew is made?
Damn!
Here's what's making news.
So there's been a lot of back and forth on whether or not theme parks in California are going to be able to open. And of course, Disneyland is the one that jumps to everyone's top of mind, right?
Legoland for me, Dave.
Sure.
Oh, really?
But you know, I mean, Universal, I mean, there's a ton of them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there are. And I mean, you Knott's.
Yeah.
This
time of year,
Six Flags, mm-hmm. There are a ton.
And so now they're saying that they might actually sue the state of California in an effort to be able to reopen. So small parks that can accommodate fewer than 15,000 people will be allowed to reopen their outdoor attractions, but only at 25%. Once the infection rate hits a certain percentage in that area, Disney, Universal, other parks are not happy that, and their parent company is now saying that they might actually sue the state. So it's just, I don't know, it's tricky, precarious time, and we're seeing these cases start to spike up in different parts around the country. I think that it's just like everyone, they're getting frustrated with how long this is going on.
At what point do you just say we can't, as a country, continue to stay closed down? Like at what point, like I get like we're waiting on a vaccine and I understand, yeah. But like there's free will of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, there's no right answer to this because we haven't been through this before. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I get there's a similar pandemic 100 years ago, but right. Nobody was around for that. That has any point
and
of reference.
Got a quarter
and things
million
have changed.
People who have died because
right.
Of this,
but
so.
I mean, but at the same time, it's free will of like you can choose to stay home. And other people who haven't been able to have a job.
I don't feel like being a...
but that's not your choice.
No, I'm saying like okay. I don't feel like my freedoms are being diminished because I can't go to Disneyland.
Well, no, but people who work at Disneyland.
People who work at Disney.
It sucks, yes, but also you know what sucks?
But that's not your choice.
No, you know what? It's not my choice for somebody to come and sneeze on me because I'm trying to go get food at a grocery store and then my grandma dying. Like there's...
Right,
it's not,
that's
there's
your
not,
choice to stay home.
Okay.
No, but I'm just, but for real though, I understand what you're saying, but you have the choice to stay home and wear the mask and do what you need.
Or maybe
but people who need the job to actually start working and make their money and make ends meet again, I also understand that.
Or maybe we do what the countries like Japan and South Korea and New Zealand did and all, you know, like actually respect each other and we can beat this thing out, but we didn't. So here we are with 250,000 people dead and more coming and no end in sight.
Well, actually, Moderna just hit a vaccine milestone, and that's there is some hope for a vaccine, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later. I don't think anyone really knows the answer to that yet, but biotech firm Moderna said it has reached its target enrollment for its participants in the late-stage COVID-19 vaccine trial, and it's on track to ask for federal approval within a few weeks. So they say they have all the participants. They've received their first shot of the vaccine and have also moved on to the required second shot, and Moderna is one of the four stage three trials in the U.S. So Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson and Moderna was the first to start in late July. So, I mean, that is, it's going to take a, it's not going to be overnight, right? I mean,
nope.
It's going to take a while to get the vaccine to the people that really need it. But if we're talking about being able to give the vaccine to the most vulnerable, the population, the people that young people worry about.
The problem is the most vulnerable population probably isn't going to be able to take it, much like the flu shot. Because if you're super young or if you're super old or if you have pre-existing conditions, most of the time you don't take those because, you know, a vaccine is basically a low dose of whatever the, you know, whatever
the
you're trying to treat is. And so that's where we get, you know, that's why it's like, again, haven't seen my grandma in forever and not and the one time I have in the last year is outside because I don't want to risk getting somebody I care about sick and killing them.
So one of the companies that has been really dealing with it just like everyone else is Southwest Airlines, and they've done, I think, the right thing by not having their planes full. Had they had the whole center aisle empty, and that makes for a better flying experience. However, they just had to post a $1.2 billion loss for the third quarter alone, and now they're saying that they're going to go back to full planes. But I mean, as much as I appreciate what Southwest has done, and I think that Southwest generally does the right thing, they have the best customer service in the entire airline industry, in my opinion. It doesn't really do a lot of good if Southwest is the only one that's abiding by their own set of safety precautions. Mm-hmm. If they're the only airline that has the center aisle, the center seat in an aisle empty,
right?
What good does that do if no one else is
You're already on it. Mm-hmm. Like Ned in our chat just said, a full plane with the recycled air. It's most likely already, you know, it's nicer, mostly because I have more leg room, but I think the chances are still pretty high if you're sitting next to somebody, whether there's one seat or two between you.
And finally, a driver in Los Angeles that was running from the cops had pretty significant front end damage to the vehicle, was missing a bumper. It's unclear if that damage happened during the chase or before, but the chase reached the city of El Monte, and the driver took advantage of the lead that he'd built up against the cops and stopped to refuel mid-chase.
Oh, my gosh.
Did he use a credit card?
Yeah, right. I hope so.
I feel like you can't go inside and be like, hey, I need 20 on two. Like,
what's interesting is that, I mean, Los Angeles, you know, has the channel that's basically, they'll cut away from whatever it is that they're doing and just start doing the police chases, which, why is there so many police chases per capita in L.A. compared to other
more people?
No, I mean, but I mean, there's other major cities. It's not like there's a Chicago police chase.
Well, there's a lot of cities don't have the helicopters that they do also.
And also, I think L.A. started the car, the police chase segment,
I don't
right?
think that, yeah, yeah. I don't I think that so. Car chase channel still exists.
Oh, is it gone now?
I think it's gone. Well, and so, a lot of the car chases they try to like back up on because, you know, lots of people were dying and getting injured because people were just driving like crazy.
It just seems like L.A., for whatever reason, has
a lot of
car chases. And in this case, the guy stops for gas and then he throws something in the back of a white truck and he actually gets away. So the chopper is sitting there swirling and capturing all of this, but he takes off, starts running again, and then we don't even know what happened. He pulled into a parking garage, which, by the way, is what you do.
Have you never seen Goodfellas?
Hello.
Have you never seen Goodfellas?
And then he might have gotten away, might not have. But
you go and you get into an old, Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme.
I mean, that might be a little sus. There's not a lot of Oldsmobile Supreme still on the
Cutlass
road today.
Supreme,
a Cutlass Supreme, man. Those seats were like a couch.
Oh, so comfy.
But
they just soaked up everything, like everything. Smells,
yeah.
Liquids. You spill anything in there, and it's like you touch it like a week later, and it's still wet. Like,
how is that still wet? I hope that's the soda.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 10, the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So every week we like to showcase some of our not so fine moments, or at least Mahoney and myself and Ian love it. Audrey tends to hate it.
Ugh.
Why? Why? It's okay.
I just don't like being bad at stuff.
Well, but I mean, sometimes you have to just admit it, right? Like, we're bad at this.
No, just put a filter on it.
Dave, we spend, you know, a lot of hours every single day talking about things. It's unscripted, it's unplanned, it's on the fly. And so, yes, sometimes our brains work faster than our mouths do.
But Audrey, you just said put a filter on her. Are you talking about an Instagram filter on how ugly this show is from time
just
to time?
Put a filter on it, like with little butterflies. Well,
that's not how
big
real life works.
Yeah.
Put a hot bead on it and then...
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
And that's exactly what happens in the blooper reel towards the end of it each week. Ian's fine work. He'll carefully document all of our terrible mistakes that we make throughout the week. And then we showcase them in an all-new blooper reel. Here we go.
It's the... That's the blooper reel.
And I got so scared at the Matterhorn because the abominable snowman in there.
I mean, getting a $200 bonus that you weren't expecting right before the holiday season is pretty pretty cool.
I mean,
an era of COVID right now.
Google has maintained its monopoly power through all these practices that are harmful to competition.
I would mow every yard with one
you
of those.
You would not. You'd buy somebody. You'd pay for somebody to do it.
I would mow every yard with one
you
of those.
You would not. You'd buy somebody.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme, that'd be even cooler
Hold
if it was
on.
Jean-Claude. Oh, we should make a jelly. So Jean-Claude Van Damme, jam?
You're getting studioed.
How long did it take you for you to think of that one?
Tell me that wasn't good.
It was good,
Mahoney,
but I
want
to know how long it took you.
That was probably one of the best Phil Collins jokes I've ever heard.
Steve.
It's one of the best Phil Collins jokes I've ever heard.
Steve.
Steve. Secondly, you're going to catch me doing some dumb stiff because that's just generally stiff. You're going to catch me doing some dumb stiff because that's just generally stiff.
You'd buy somebody.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Did you guys see the pictures floating around of this dog that was straight up born with green fur?
Yes.
Crazy, huh? It was born in Italy.
Nature is crazy, man.
Yeah, they're calling it the pistachio dog because it straight up has a strange pigmentation.
Looks like the Grinch.
He does. It's kind of, I mean, it's very cute because it's a puppy.
Yeah.
Do I just Google pistachio dog?
Yeah, or green dog, whatever it may be.
Green dog.
Mixed breed.
Is that a swingers club?
The green dog?
Oh, my gosh.
Woof, woof. So if you're going to go overseas, you should probably follow the rules, right? So five rappers who are part of a, I guess, a popular hip-hop audition program were over in Korea, and they were smoking weed, which is against the rules. Police searched the label's headquarters at the time, took hair and urine samples from a couple of the different rappers to use in their drug tests. The test came back positive, so the
rappers smoking weed? Say it ain't so.
Oh, my gosh. Who would have thought?
People smoking weed in general? What are you talking about?
You're not gonna,
the devil's lettuce. I could not.
You're not going to like this, Dewey. It makes you feel real good. But am I going to get addicted? No, Dewey. It's not addicting either.
It turns all your bad feelings into good feelings. It's a nightmare.
I like how this is a story about South Korea, and we're all talking like this as if they got busted in Alabama.
Overdose on the weed.
Yeah, no. So,
Hey, South Korea, get with the times.
But one of my worst fears, though, is going out of the country and then getting thrown in jail for something. Can you imagine going to jail in Mexico or in South Korea?
Have you ever seen Locked Up
Abroad? Yes, I was just thinking about that. That might be one of my irrational fears that we were talking about earlier.
Going to jail in Russia?
No.
Oh, my God.
I've talked too much trash
about Russia and China and any like of these authoritarian countries. I am not. I am going to any of those. I am going to stick with, friendly countries in Asia and mostly Western Europe for me personally. Maybe Australia, New Zealand.
So there is
Would they let us in?
Mahoney, this is an important story. I'm sorry to interrupt, but there is a sex-crazed duck on the loose.
A horny duck?
People should be aware of this.
That duck likes to what?
Now his owner, Donna Wilson, has revealed that Bob is also horny for her.
Wait, his name's...
Bob the Duck. Okay. It's Bob the Duck. As well as anyone else who comes over to the house, she said that Bob has gone as far as to jump over a 5-foot fence that she installed to stop him from escaping from the home. Donna reckons Bob, who already has a mate named Teddy, will need two more partners before he calms down and stops harassing everyone he meets. So the first victim was a Pizza Hut delivery driver. Since then, has been the postman, us, friends, locals, everyone.
Lock that duck up. He's a pervert.
Yep, I agree.
He's just on a rampage.
Get him out of here.
I don't know why.
Hades says, quack kills. Mahoney's so mad he just got out-punned right now.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
So this is just so stereotypical. A couple of little pranksters broke into a bank wearing the little masks over their eyes and everything in Redwood City, California. And they quickly realized after the alarm started going off and the security cameras started noticing motion that the burglars were actually... raccoons.
Raccoons are straight up thieves.
Actual little raccoons broke into the bank.
I mean, their little masks.
Yeah, they dress like little burglars, you know what I mean? But yeah, raccoon. Have you never seen the video of the raccoon stealing the cat food out of the cat dish? The little run that it does when it takes off, it's got the whole handful with both hands, and it just takes off running on its back legs. If raccoons weren't so
rabid,
if they weren't so laden with rabies, they'd be such cool little animals to hang out with.
They would be like awesome. Well, their claws weren't as sharp, too.
Yeah.
They're really cute, though. The fat ones are the best.
Have you guys ever been close to a raccoon in real life? I have not.
Yes, but I've never been I've never picked one up.
They always used to eat because we had indoor-outdoor cats, so we would keep the cat food in the garage
in Alabama.
So they
used to steal the cat food
as well?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Possums. Ugh.
Possums are gross, man. Yeah, giant
possums
slinky
are the
rats.
Worst.
Yeah,
Is there any worse rodent than a possum?
I mean, they're terrifying, huge. It's like a blend of a raccoon and a rat.
Half of them are like albino with the weird red eyes.
Yeah.
Whereas, why can't all rodents just be like capybaras? Like, those are just adorable and nice.
Because then we'd be overrun by them.
No, but
I would be okay with that. Like, a capybara can camp out on me all day long. I think they're, as cute as dogs.
But the capybaras don't have any predators, so that's why they're always smiling, right?
No, you're thinking of the other guys, the smiley guys.
Yeah, in Australia on that island.
Quackas. Quackas.
Yeah.
No, capybaras have predators.
Oh, they do?
I think they get eaten by gators.
So, this is garbage here. The cops went to bust this woman, and they found cocaine in her purse, but she gave them a perfectly viable excuse. It's not mine. The wind must have blown it in there. And they didn't believe her? Come on, guys. Police stopped a swerving car and questioned the two passengers.
Who hasn't been walking along down the street.
Right?
Gust of wind comes by.
You have a closed purse. It blows the purse open.
No, the purse is open.
Oh, it was
already
open.
Okay. Right.
Maybe it's one of those snap ones.
Snap ones,
and
sure.
It's like
it
the magnetic
it.
Sex. Yeah. Okay.
And then some cocaine carefully placed into a baggie. Goes flying into your purse. Who hasn't been there,
Dave,
before?
I believe there's a classic Americana song written about this by the band Kansas, Dust in the Wind. Isn't that what this is about?
In this case, they noticed the car was swerving down the road. When they pulled it over, there was a bunch of marijuana smoke coming out of the car. So they searched. They found a bag of marijuana and a bag of cocaine in separate bags.
Marijuana was hers, right?
That but she had. Cocaine was she fessed up to the weed.
Okay.
But that sweet, sweet Colombian sugar, she said, oh, no, I don't know anything about cocaine. It's a windy day. It must have flown in through the window and gone into my purse. Yeah, all right.
So back before Uber was a thing, I had a friend who had, he liked to party a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we were cleaning out his car one day and found a couple of baggies in there.
Of cocaine?
Yeah.
Really?
And he's like, no, these aren't mine. It's somebody, like, it must have been somebody I was giving a ride home from the bar.
Oh, yeah,
Who misplaces their cocaine? Like, you
Multiple bags?
What?
You have to be pretty messed up because every person that I've ever known that does cocaine, especially when that, like, 3 a.m. and their drug dealer's already asleep moment hits, like, they will rip the seats out
that's
of the
like
car.
Gold. Exactly. Yeah, I think probably too drunk, too.
Too drunk,
so,
yeah.
Probably.
Speaking of drinking, a drunken Florida man was trying to dock his 40-foot boat, which is a huge-ass boat. I mean, that's like, yacht size big. He was pulling into a marina, and he did the old whiskey throttle, as they call it, and he crashed his luxury craft into a bunch of other vessels.
Oh,
so yacht-on-yacht crime here. He said he was trying to dock the boat, but same thing. The wind blew him into other boats.
Okay.
But police say the amount of damage was inconsistent with getting blown into another boat. They say that you accidentally jammed the gas. And so now Brendan Corey Sheridan, specifically, 32, who was wearing a disarranged T-shirt, shorts, and sandals, went ahead and took him into custody after he failed the sobriety test after crashing his large boat into a bunch. Does the insurance cover that?
It has to.
If you call your insurance company, you're like, hey, I was drunk and I ran into like three other yachts.
You don't tell them you were drunk.
Well, I mean, but when the cops arrest you for being drunk, it's kind of hard to deny it.
Well, plausible deniability.
Deny.
You're innocent until proven guilty.
I see.
I was sleepy.
Do you think is that what the band in the 80s was named after? Dockin, you remember them?
Yeah, Dockin.
I think that's also something called. Are we thinking about the same thing right now?
Well, yeah, they're spelled differently.
It's a little smaller than a yacht, buddy. That's a dinghy you're docking.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Describe your family in one word. I choose chaotic for mine, as we have a habit of being late, and we're definitely loud people.
Message deleted.
Family in one word, I would say close. I mean, and the reason why I choose the word close, as corny as that is, I mean, there's six kids, you know, two parents, and all of the other offspring that have been born as a result of having six kids. So all the grandkids and everything else, and we're all still very close, which is, I think, fairly unique with that many people.
Especially when you're spread out across the country, sort of thing, and that many people, that is certainly a lot. I would say small. I mean, I'm an only child. My wife's an only child. So it's like I have one cousin. Like, so.
Man, that's crazy. Have you ever had a friend that is cousins with everyone? You know what I'm talking about? My buddy Wisnut was cousins with absolutely everyone that lived in Lexington, South Carolina.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know Brad? Yeah, man.
That's my cousin. You're like, what?
That's my hometown.
What?
Mm-hmm.
It's because his grandparents got around.
That's right.
That is what's going on.
How would you describe your family in one word, Audrey?
I want to steal this guy's chaotic. I feel like there's always just something, but mine's not chaotic in a sense of like everyone's always running around doing everything. We're always going places. Like, it's just every time I get on the phone with somebody, there's something happening. Yeah. Like, there's some type of drama going on.
Yeah.
And it just makes it to where it's like, do I really want to call you anymore? Like, that's really the point that I've reached. I'm like, can I move further away?
You're like, you already moved across the country. Kyle said reliable, and Boz said dysfunctional. Mm. Ian, how would you describe your family in one word?
Unorthodox. I have a strange family. We're all different people, you know, people coming in and out, adoptions, test tube babies, like, I'm everywhere, so. But
yeah, because you've got a pretty big, like, if you like were to, it's pretty big, right?
Yeah, so
between everybody,
family, yeah,
yeah, a lot of step siblings and all that. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's cool though. I mean, it's how the blended families are. What this world is about now.
We make it work.
Yeah. Duke said one word to describe my family: disappointment.
Oh, hey man, that sucks. I mean, but that's the truth. I mean, we've all been pretty blessed that we have parents that love us. That's like when people say it's like you hit the lottery. It's like you hit the lottery at birth if you got parents that care about you.
Razor said, "I'm Mexican, so of course we have a huge family, loud and proud." Good for you, man.
Please leave a message after the tone.
All right, be honest here. How long did it take for you guys to be comfortable enough to go number two around your significant others in the same vicinity, instead of in your own place or someplace far away from them?
Message deleted.
I still don't love
not
it.
Okay. No, I don't even like staying in a hotel room because they're too close. Like she's sitting on the laying on the bed watching TV.
You can hear everything in that bathroom.
Yeah, like I'll turn the shower on if I have to in that bathroom.
Turn on definitely the fan for sure.
Well, a lot of the hotel rooms don't have a fan, which is a problem. And so you got to turn on the sink or the shower, and then the shower makes the smell linger. And
you bring in a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah. Metallica is playing in the bathroom while I'm in there. Just anything to cover up the noise.
So what you need to do is there a way to, like, you know how noise canceling headphones work? We need to find that for a bathroom, like to find whatever that that brown frequency is. And
brown,
that's a really
frequency?
Good idea.
A brown note's a real thing.
Well, it didn't start out as a brown frequency. It just ended up that way.
No, Ian knows what I'm talking about. The brown, if you guys have never heard about the brown note, there's a frequency that if you are hit with it, it will cause your body to do its business. Like immediately.
Wait, I can make somebody.
It's like
poop?
A crowd. It's like it was like the CIA or the Russian version of the CIA that came up with this, and like they hit you with it, and then you just go. Bruh.
Jaded said, "Travel hack: bring an obnoxious, good smelling candle with you." Stacy said, "I have hairspray or deodorant. I'll spray it in the room."
Let's I go cologne afterwards.
Cologne. Oh, because no, then they associate the cologne with poop because you're mixing the two
you
smells.
Overpower.
The cologne's too expensive for that, man. You're like, what are you talking about? That bottle costs
y'all
you
$200. Y'all just need to get comfortable, okay? Just no, one Audrey, time with the door your, open and it'll change your whole open. Relationship. Oh. No, Andrew about? Sometimes will just like knock on the door and he's like, "You good, baby?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm just sitting here, just going through TikTok."
Oh.
It's fine. I got cute poops.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
They're cute and small, fast.
I feel sorry.
They're just cute, fast, very quick poop.
Enormous poop stews, like we talked about earlier.
Stop it.
Please leave a message after
I'm
the
dead.
Tone.
Dave, you said your kids are in soccer now. Have you encountered any crazy parents yelling at the refs yet?
Message deleted.
Yeah, last week.
What happened?
So we were playing this team.
I can't wait to hear this team.
My daughter is four, right? And so
it's
like
great.
They're all terrible at soccer, right?
They're awful.
But there's a couple of kids who are better, but they were playing a team last week that you could tell was about to graduate to the next level up because they're a little bit older. Like one of the kids straight up looked like Ronaldo. And he
where's the birth certificate?
And he had a victory dance every time he scored a goal where he would like run like an airplane down the field. And
oh,
you're like,
no.
Okay, this kid, like
excessive celebration.
Like the kids
penalty.
On our team don't even know that they scored a goal. They just sort of stand around
they
near.
They don't even know how to spell goal. Come on.
But one of the parents of the kid on our team was mad because they had one of their kids playing goalie. He's like, "Don't have any goalies. Our team can't score. Could you move the goalie, please?" And I'm like, "Hey, man, like
they're four.
The kids don't even care if they win. They don't
Roger,
even know
relax.
What winning is at this. Like it's just
they're just here for the Capri Suns and orange slices,
pizza afterwards."
And then I started to realize that the goal is so small that if you have a goalie there, it is an unfair advantage. So I'm like, "Move the goalie. Get him out of there."
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
Well, all right then, friends. It's Friday. Beer for breakfast.
All I want to eat is them barbecue chips.
13 years running, often imitated, never duplicated. And I'm just glad to say that I'm here with friends and that you are able to hang out with us while we drink some amazing beer today.
Nobody likes you. We're not friends. We're forced to sit in the same room.
Audrey's my friend because I gave her beer. Ian is my friend that I gave her beer. You were
I've
just
been your friend before.
Did you just call
you
Ian a her?
Yeah. You did.
I don't know his pronouns. I'm sorry.
Wow. So, yeah. Are they in your bio on Instagram? It's the only way to know.
It is good to hang out on a Friday and drink some beer. When we say that we are drinking a beer, boy, are we drinking one today.
When you hear the phrase beer for breakfast, this is probably the one of the more ultimate beers that you could drink for breakfast. Today we have from the Avery Brewing Company, which is a fantastic brewery, the Double Barreled Maple Stout, and this bad boy comes in at 15.3% alcohol by volume. So we are dealing with some real crazy beer here. One of the more expensive bottles that we've drank. But when you think that drinking this is basically drinking a six-pack of Bud Light,
Wait, just one of these is the equivalent to, I guess so. Yeah,
it's about five Bud Lights.
Yeah, wow.
So it is four Bud Lights.
Wow.
But this beer comes in at $20 a bottle. So it is not cheap, but this is a very special beer. When you take beers, you barrel age them, and especially when you barrel age them with a bunch of maple syrup as well, you are going to get something that is fantastic. I recommend serving this beer anywhere between 50 and 55 degrees Fahrenheit.
And you actually pulled it out of the fridge earlier.
About
today,
a half
right?
hour before yep. we started to drink it, because with stouts like this, you want them to open up. You want to taste all of those flavors because there's lots of layers. The five categories in which we rate every single beer here on Beer for Breakfast: look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. Let's all cheers, guys.
What cheers. With your phone? You just got cheers. It fixed.
Well,
you
we're
crazy.
Just, no, we're just cheers. Cheersing ourselves because we're being safe.
Oh, cheers. Sorry. Was that your microphone?
I didn't know where else to cheers. I didn't have anything else in front of me. Nobody cheers, wanted to cheers me, so I cheers my microphone. Mic. I just tried.
You got to, like, it's got to be a light touch.
I thought.
Or just use your phone.
Sorry, I'm aggressive. I'm excited.
But let's all take a drink of this 15.3% bad boy that we got in front of us from the Avery Brewing Co.
Oh,
whoa. That tastes like a beer that's 15%. It's
that made me,
it's a lot.
That just sent chills through my whole body. She thick. Two C's.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, boy.
Like,
this
I mean,
is
seriously thick.
So when people talk about Guinness, they're, you know, like, who aren't really beer drinkers, they're like, oh, it's so thick, it's so filling, it scares me.
I feel like this is how people that don't drink Guinness think that Guinness tastes.
Yes. Oh,
this
my God, I love Guinness.
Is a, yeah. Did you say this is a thick boy, Audrey?
Yeah, this is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Thick
mm-hmm.
with two C's. The look dark as the night. A little bit of head, a little bit of carbonation. More carbonation than I expected in the body, but, I mean, you hold it up to a direct light source, you can see a little bit of amber highlights.
Barely.
There.
I see.
Barely.
Yeah, I see. Well, a
direct,
black tunnel yeah. of just blackout.
That is right. If you ever want to know what a black hole looks like, this is what it looks like. Let's move on to the next category here with the Double Barreled Maple Stout from Avery, which is the smell. Let's all take a big whiff.
I mean, this isn't going to stun you, but the first smell, you're getting some
booze.
I'm getting a lot of alcohol in there. A
lot of booze. I mean, a lot of bourbon.
It almost smells like you're
like
taking a
drunk.
Yeah, I mean, like you're getting a whiff of bourbon or something.
There are
right?
certain barrel-aged beers that don't have noses this big. This is a big, hefty nose.
Mm-hmm.
This is not demure. This is not muted. This is big bourbon barrel flavors coming right up in the nostrils.
Mmm. Huh. I love bourbon in my nostrils.
Booze. Yeah.
At 9:30 a
lot
in the
of
morning.
Booze up in there. All right, let's take another drink because this is where it all goes down. Where this beer really shines, in my opinion, is the taste. And, I mean, the first taste is always going to kind of scare you off a little bit because you're getting a lot of alcohol and that's a lot of flavors coming at your palate all at once. But after you take a drink, let it sit for a second and then take a separate drink. Almost drink this like you would drink a bourbon. How I would recommend drinking a bourbon is you don't just like you don't just jump in. You kind of like let it take a little bit in your mouth. You let it coat your tongue. Yes, you roll it across your tongue.
And that is sweet.
And it's like getting into a pool. You acclimate your mouth to this beer, especially when it has this much alcohol.
Dip your little toe in.
Yeah. So I mean, after taking a couple of pulls there, I mean, you definitely get a lot of the malt and the sweetness of it. Really,
a lot of roasted malt.
Really balances out the alcohol. So I mean, at 15%, you're talking about a super strong beer, one of the strongest that you can buy. You walk into any grocery store or any even specialty shop and you buy a craft beer, getting above 15% is going to be a challenge to find. But the sweetness of it really balances
and
it out.
And the end.
But yeah, it's
the
just,
end is
it
so
makes
good.
You, it makes you shiver, but not in a bad way.
It did make like me have chills.
Yeah.
Just because that first initial alcohol drink.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm excited. And we actually had a beer like this, maybe it was last week or the week before, that the first sip I wasn't expecting Mm-hmm. Second sip, third sip, fourth sip. It got easier and better.
That was the...
Because you have to prepare yourself for the thickness.
That was the Goza from Passion Pools, which, yeah, definitely the first drink scares you. And then you get back in and you're like, ooh, this water is real nice. And ooh, the taste of this beer is real nice. And as it warms up, it does get better. The 15.3% alcohol by volume, the bourbon, the whiskey, all of those are very, very, very present. You get a nice chocolate. And they're not that like kind of bitter chocolate either. This is kind of
like a sweet chocolate.
This is a sweet, which is coming from that maple, which is very present in there. The malts in there, and the finish is, it's like, it's a boozy finish, so you get a little bit of heat on the tongue, but I really like the finish on this particular beer myself, and the mouthfeel on this. This is medium to heavy bodied. I would almost say this is probably heavy.
Heavy. This is like chocolate milk thing.
This is one of the most, I would love to actually, I don't know what the tool is to measure viscosity, but I think this is one of the most dense and viscous beers that we've ever drank, but it's still smooth, and it's still very creamy. Overall, the drinkability on this beer, this is an amazing step. But this is a
you're gonna have like two of these at most and be done.
Oh no,
like a one and done. No way,
I had half of it.
We're all drinking half beers today,
and I love you guys so much.
Oh, I love you too, Ian. I love you. You're so cute. You guys are so cute.
It's more of a primal thing for me. Are you okay with that?
If I were to recommend this beer, I would say this is a beer that you share with friends. Even a whole beer is a little much, but this is a beer that you definitely need to taste. But being at 15%, like if you drank two of these, I think you're on your head, Dave.
No, that's what I mean. If you sit down with your friends, and again, this is like a good wintertime beer. Like if you were at a ski resort or something.
That's exactly what I was envisioning when I was drinking it.
Yeah, like the fire's going and it's snowing outside.
Marshmallows.
In your parka.
Yeah, but you're sitting inside, you're hanging out with your friends, and you have one of these, you're going to feel real good, and then you have a second one. But it could literally last you 4 hours.
This like you is could not sit a beer here. You drink.
You
fast.
Could sit here and sip on
Don't
this thing
dare.
For hours on
and
it.
And actually, it's going to get better the more it warms up too. Because, like I said, there are layers upon layers of this beer. The finish is beautiful. But like I said. You don't need to buy a six-pack of these, and don't even attempt to drink a six-pack of these. The double-barreled maple stout from the Avery Brewing Company. Dave, can I get a drum roll, please?
Yes,
all of Mahoney's Beer Scale Supremacy. I give this beer a 4.1 out of 5.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
All right, so as we round things out today here in Las Vegas, we want to say thank you for hanging out with us. Anyone got a little bazoo going on from Beer for Breakfast?
Feeling pretty good. This is a very strong beer, but we got a whole Friday in front of us, Dave. So we'll see what happens. I might make my way to a local tap room.
Oh boy!
Head on down to tonight.
Did you see how things changed? So earlier in the show, he's like, "I was supposed to go meet a friend to drink, and I'm not doing that." He has. One half of one beer at 15%. He's like, I might be cruising on out to the old tap room.
I'm going to hit the town. They got God of Thunder, and they've got a barrel age version on tap right now, and I haven't tried it, man.
Genocide in the chat said some of that 4-car Keno to go with it. Look at
it. No. Luckily, they don't have gambling.
Oh,
there.
No gaming? Good for
Which
you.
Is,
that'll save you it, thousands
yes.
of dollars.
If I am in a bar that does not have gaming, but I'll probably spend it on Touch Tunes and Golden Tee.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you man. Will.
So one thing to note is this came out yesterday. Caesars Entertainment says they're going to bring back select bar and lounge room performances at some of the properties. So some of the lounges at Harrah's and Bally's and Paris, Planet Hollywood are going to offer free live music and free of charge as well. So we talked about all the shows that were reopening at MGM Resorts, including, you know, David Copperfield and Jabba Walkies and Carrot Top. And they said at Caesars, Absinthe is coming back,
Hell
which
yeah.
is a great show.
Best show in town.
X Country? What is that? I don't even know what X Country is. Is that
not
like a country cover show? Piff, the Magic Dragon, Tape Face, starting next month. But the lounge acts are cool. Like if you're in there and socially distanced, be able to sit down and check out just a lounge act for free, that's pretty cool too. So
the one I wanted to see that I never got to go see that I hope that when things get back to normal, Puddle's Pity Party.
Puddles. Is he on the strip?
He did a mini residency at Caesars, right?
Oh, that's right, at the Cleopatra Bar
or
whatever.
And I never got to see that.
I never
that.
Got down
like,
there either.
I wanted to go see.
Puddles is the gigantic 7-foot clown
who has the voice of an angel.
I watch his YouTube videos all the time.
Yes, I find my
it.
Every time they get recommended for me, I just find myself going down a Puddles hole.
Jeremy and Dats said that X Country is a burlesque show. I had no idea. Is it set to country music?
Oh, that's fun.
So that's a good show, though. Saw it a couple times.
There used to be a show at the Sahara that my friend Sean and I used to go to. It was called Buck Wild, and it was a country variety show with boobies.
Who was it that had the free pass? Was it Sean that had
Sean
the free
had them because he worked over at our sister station Mix, and they had, for whatever reason, I don't know why they were particularly giving them away, but he took a handful, and it was like 500 tickets, and so you guys would always go to the
and we that would just, to the booby country show and just get hammered.
We became regulars there.
It was at the Sahara, right? Is that what you said?
We would tip the door guy $5 and he would sit us in front.
$5.
We would drink. So we would be sitting on the roof of the parking garage at the Sahara, and there was this stuff that pink. You remember that like horror, like explicit, or it was that pink vodka,
or whatever it was called, X something. Yeah, it was something that was really
X-rated.
X-rated. It was trying super hard to be edgy.
And it was so. Like, gross.
It was X-rated vodka.
And it was
yeah.
pink, and we were drinking it. His Scion TC, and I threw up in that car once.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, it was a good time.
Don't give Mahoney anything pink colored because he will barf it up.
Yeah, I mean, my body was probably right that I probably shouldn't have consumed that much X-rated bootleg ass vodka.
One other thing is the Raiders are going to be playing on Sunday. There was some fear that because the positive COVID test that maybe the game would have to be postponed. So they actually moved it off Sunday night. So it's a pretty good game, right? It's Tampa Bay Bucks and the Las Vegas Raiders. And it was going to be the Sunday night game because high profile game, the Raiders coming off the bye week after they beat the Chiefs. A lot of steam behind the team right now, but they're moving it to the afternoon. But the Raiders still a go. It's been pulled down at a lot of sports books around town, but if you want to bet on it, the Raiders are the underdog right now. So 3.5-point underdogs, even a 4-point underdog over at Golden Nugget. So if you want to bet on the Raiders right now, 4-point underdogs, and the total is sitting around 53.5 at some places. So should be a fun weekend, but thank you guys for hanging out with us, and have a great one.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine, out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.